Welcome back to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. You know him for his in-depth retrospectives on the dearly departed. Now Emmy-winning CBS Sunday Morning correspondent Mo Rocca has written a book about people who give it one last hurrah very late in life. And he joins us now to talk about octogenarians' late in life debuts, comebacks, and triumphs. Good morning. Thank you for being on Camo X with us.
I'm happy to be with you, Megan.
Well, I love your work. I love your podcast, Mobituaries, and I know you're going to be in St. Louis later this week for a book signing at the St. Louis County Library. Unfortunately, that is all sold out, but at least you get a chance to tell our listeners about some of the fun stories that you have in your book. You even profile a tortoise.
I do indeed. Mr. Pickles, the Houston Zoo tortoise, who at the age of 90 became a first-time father.
Wow.
Take that, Al Pacino. We were impressed because Al Pacino was 83. He's just a kid. What I wanted to do with this book is buck this conventional wisdom that the last third of your life is a time to wind things down, a time to clock out. That's just ridiculous. It's not just now, but throughout history, there have been people that have done remarkable things at the age when you're supposed to be hanging it up. One of my favorite stories is about Harlan Sanders, who at the age of 66 was broke. His business had fallen apart in Kentucky, and he was living off of Social Security, $105 a month at that point. He got in his car with two pressure cookers, a bucket of seasoning, his secret recipe of 11 herbs and spices, and he drove from town to town cooking for people. And within 8 years, he was the face of an empire of 800 outlets worldwide of KFC. Estelle Getty, if you write a book like this, you got to include at least one golden girl. I think it's by law. And Estelle Getty, who played the mother, Sophia Petrillo, had never been on TV until she was 62 years old. She, raised her family. She had two kids, and she'd taken little bit parts and plays wherever she could. But she broke out at 62. And there are just tons of stories like that that need to be told.
When you look at these stories and these individuals, what's the common thread among the people you profiled that they mustered this up late in life to really make the most of the last years?
There are a few things going on. They don't look backwards. They're not either by necessity, like Harlan Sanders couldn't afford to, or it's just an attitude thing. They're not playing highlight reels of their lives. They're not wallowing in regret. But there's something else that's important that I've recognized through all of my years of interviewing older people, which I prefer because they have better stories, is as you get older, you care less about what other people think of you. And that's really freeing. It's really liberating. And so you can just be free to act. This past weekend, I profiled June Squibb, who's 94, and she's the lead in this movie, Thelma. It's really a fun movie. And she's never been a lead before. And she said, she's doing her best work now because she doesn't care what other people think. She just goes for it. I think that's a big part of it. If you don't go for it, you're really going to regret it. The writer Frank McCourt, who wrote Angela's Ashes, he was a high school English teacher. He had these great stories. His students said, you've got to tell your life story. And he was embarrassed about the poverty he grew up in Ireland. And he finally decided, in his words, that he would die howling if he didn't get his story out. He put it down, and it became one of the biggest bestsellers of the last 50 years. And that was when he was 66. Laura Ingalls Wilder was the same way. Her life was really, really difficult after her early years in the prairie, much harder. But her daughter said, you lived this amazing life on the prairie. You got to tell this story. She was 65 when the first of her 8 books were published. But it's people from all walks of life, entrepreneurs, artists, writers, even athletes. I mean, Diana Nyad tried to swim from Cuba to Florida when she was 28. She failed, and she said, I'm not going to try it again. She put the dream aside for 30 years. She tried again when she was 58, and what's remarkable is she kept failing again. And failing, I don't mean that as a diss here. Weather intervened, box jellyfish, I mean, things that I certainly couldn't endure. But she did it at the age of 64, finally. And that's remarkable. But not that rare as well.
We're speaking with Mo Rocca. You know, I'm curious, a lot of times you are doing obituaries, and I know, you know, in some of these stories of late life achievement, you know, some of these individuals have passed. But when you look back on someone's passing, what does it tell you about life itself? What have you gleaned from all of these years of work?
Well, I think that living in the present is so important. Not fretting about the future, not wallowing in the past. What I have found is that as people get older, and I didn't expect this, and I see this in myself, you start fretting less about the future, even though you have less time in front of you. And so you're freer and more able to act. I think that's one thing. But I think the biggest thing is, it's hard not to, it's a lapse into cliche here, but is to go for it. Because if you don't, that is regrettable. You got nothing to lose. And these stories show it. I mean, Sam and Betsy Farber were a couple. They were retired. They were going to enjoy their retirement. Betsy was trying to make an apple tart with a peeler, and she had arthritis. And so she and her husband realized there needed to be a peeler that people with arthritis could use. And they thus began the OXO Good Grips empire. They developed that together, the husband and wife. They brought other people in, and it revolutionized, kitchen utensils. So, I mean, these are people who see a problem and figure out how to fix it, and they go for it.
That it's one of my favorite peelers. So when I was looking at...
I love it.
When I was looking at this and I was thinking of octogenarians, it made me think of headlines we have right now about the two men who are running for president and their ages. You know, put that in context for us. When you look at the stories of these individuals that have done amazing things late in life, but right now the nation is... you know, maybe judging these two men about what their capabilities are, you know, in their 80s.
So here's where, and I'll tell you, Megan, this book was in part a response to that. So we're hearing all about the downside of old age. We're hearing it so much at this point. It's like a tidal wave of negativity. That is definitely something that needs to be discussed. Absolutely. You know, what you call a gerontocracy, not just in the White House, but in Congress. That is something to be discussed and to be concerned about. However, there is another side to this, and ageism is real, and it's really stupid, because the problem is the population is aging, whether we like it or not. And more to the point, there's all this talent among older people that would just be foolish to dispense with, to dismiss, to disregard. So there's another side to it. Now, as far as the candidates, I think there should be a mental acuity test for both of them. There should be full transparency. Honestly, I think it would make a great live television event to put them through a mental acuity test. I'd watch that. That would be must-see TV, even better than a debate, although you could argue that a debate is a mental acuity test. We'll see. But I'm all in favor of that transparency. It's really important to know, because especially with the highest office in the land, the most important office, in the world. But we also have to look at the other side of this, that there is strength. You know, there's a story in the book about a woman named Mary Church Terrell, a civil rights leader. She'd spent her life advocating for the rights of Black people. And at the age of 86, when she had more than earned her rest, she then began leading sit-ins at segregated Washington, D.C. lunch counters. She felt called to do that, so she rejoined that fight. And, you know, there's something incredibly beautiful about that and powerful, because at best, she was only going to live a few more years. She was only going to enjoy the world that she helped fight for a little bit of time. So she wasn't doing it for herself. So I have to say, there is something very especially noble about public servants of a very advanced age, and I don't think we should lose sight of that.
Well, I hope you enjoy your visit to St. Louis, and thank you for spending time with us this morning on KMOX.
And Megan, I have to thank you, and I also have to tell you, though, to remember the story of Mr. Pickles, the Houston Zoo tortoise, who at age 90 became a first-time father. So it's not just people, and it's not just career milestones. And, you know, we thought Al Pacino was impressive at 83.
Go Mr. Pickles, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to live until about 150, so there could be a lot more kids coming. So
probably outlive me.
Pickles.
All right, Mo, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Megan.
That is Emmy-winning CBS Sunday Morning correspondent Mo Rocca, and his book is Rocktogenarians, Late in Life Debuts, Comebacks, and Triumphs. Well,
if your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. You know him for his in-depth retrospectives on the dearly departed. Now Emmy-winning CBS Sunday Morning correspondent Mo Rocca has written a book about people who give it one last hurrah very late in life. And he joins us now to talk about rocktogenarians, late in life debuts, comebacks, and triumphs. Good morning. Thank you for being on KMOX with us.
I'm happy to be with you, Megan.
Well, I love your work. I love your podcast, Mobituaries, and I know you're going to be in St. Louis later this week for a book signing at the St. Louis County Library. Unfortunately, that is all sold out, but at least you get a chance to tell our listeners about some of the fun stories that you have in your book. You even profile a tortoise.
I do indeed. Mr. Pickles, the Houston Zoo tortoise, who at the age of 90 became a first-time father.
Wow.
Take that, Al Pacino. We were impressed with Al Pacino was 83. He's just a kid. What I wanted to do with this book is sort of buck this conventional wisdom that the last third of your life is a time to wind things down, a time to clock out. That's just ridiculous. It's not just now, but throughout history, there have been people that have done remarkable things at the age when you're supposed to be hanging it up. One of my favorite stories is about Harlan Sanders, who at the age of 66 was broke. His business had fallen apart in Kentucky, and he was living off of Social Security, $105 a month at that point. He got in his car with two pressure cookers, a bucket of seasoning, his secret recipe of 11 herbs and spices, and he drove from town to town cooking for people. And within 8 years, he was the face of an empire of 800 outlets worldwide of KFC. Estelle Getty, if you write a book like this, you got to include at least one golden girl. I think it's by law. And Estelle Getty, who played the mother, Sophia Petrillo, had never been on TV until she was 62 years old. She, you know, raised her family. She had two kids, and she'd taken little bit parts in plays wherever she could. But she broke out at 62. And there are just tons of stories like that that need to be told.
When you look at these stories and these individuals, what's the common thread among the people you profiled that they mustered this up late in life to really make the most of the last years?
There are a few things going on. They don't look backwards. They're not either by necessity, like Harlan Sanders couldn't afford to, or it's just an attitude thing. They're not playing highlight reels of their lives. They're not wallowing in regret. But there's something else that's important that I've recognized through all of my years of interviewing older people, which I prefer because they have better stories, is as you get older, you care less about what other people think of you. And that's really freeing. It's really liberating. And so you can just be free to act. This past weekend, I profiled June Squibb, who's 94, and she's the lead in this movie, Thelma. It's really a fun movie. And she'd never been a lead before. And she said, you know, she's doing her best work now because she doesn't care what other people think. She just goes for it. And, you know, I think that that's a big part of it. If you don't go for it, you're really going to regret it. The writer Frank McCourt, who wrote Angela's Ashes, he was a high school English teacher. He had these great stories. His students said, you've got to tell your life story. And he was embarrassed about the poverty he grew up in Ireland. And he finally decided, in his words, that he would die howling if he didn't get his story out. He put it down, and it became one of the biggest bestsellers of the last 50 years. And that was when he was 66. Laura Ingalls Wilder was the same way. You know, her life was really, really difficult after her early years in the prairie, much harder. But her daughter said, "You lived this amazing life on the prairie. You got to tell the story." She was 65 when the first of her 8 books were published. But it's people from all walks of life, you know, entrepreneurs, artists, writers, even athletes. I mean, Diana Nyad tried to swim from Cuba to Florida when she was 28. She failed, and she said, "I'm not going to try it again." She put the dream aside for 30 years. She tried again when she was 58, and what's remarkable is she kept failing again. And failing, I don't mean that as a diss here. You know, weather intervened, box jellyfish, I mean, things that I certainly couldn't endure. But she did it at the age of 64, finally. And that's remarkable. But not that rare as well.
We're speaking with Mo Rocca. You know, I'm curious, a lot of times you are doing obituaries, and I know, you know, in some of these stories of late life achievement, you know, some of these individuals have passed. But when you look back on someone's passing, what does it tell you about life itself? What have you gleaned from all of these years of work?
Well, I think that living in the present is so important. Not fretting about the future, not wallowing in the past. What I have found is that as people get older, and I didn't expect this, and I see this in myself, you start fretting less about the future, even though you have less time in front of you. And so you're freer and more able to act. I think that's one thing. You know, I think the biggest thing is a lapse into cliche here, but is to go for it, because if you don't, that is regrettable. If you got nothing to lose, and these stories show it. I mean, Sam and Betsy Farber were a couple. They were retired. They were going to enjoy their retirement. Betsy was trying to make an apple tart with a peeler, and she had arthritis. And so she and her husband realized there needed to be a peeler that people with arthritis could use. And they thus began the OXO Good Grips empire. They developed that together, the husband and wife. They brought other people in, and it revolutionized, you know, kitchen utensils. So, I mean, these are people who see a problem and figure out how to fix it, and they go for it.
That it's one of my favorite peelers. So when I was looking at...
I love it.
When I was looking at this and I was thinking of octogenarians, it made me think of headlines we have right now about the two men who are running for president and their ages. You know, put that in context for us. When you look at the stories of these individuals that have done amazing things late in life, but right now the nation is, you know, maybe judging these two men about what their capabilities are, you know, in their 80s.
So here's where, and I'll tell you, Megan, this book was in part a response to that. So we're hearing all about the downside of old age. We're hearing it so much at this point. It's like a tidal wave of negativity. That is definitely something that needs to be discussed. Absolutely. You know, what you call a gerontocracy, not just in the White House, but in Congress. That is something to be discussed and to be concerned about. However, there is another side to this, and ageism is real, and it's really stupid, because the problem is the population is aging, whether we like it or not. And more to the point, there's all this talent among older people that would just be foolish to dispense with, to dismiss, to disregard. So there's another side to it. Now, as far as the candidates, I think there should be a mental acuity test for both of them. There should be full transparency. Honestly, I think it would make a great live television event to put them through a mental acuity test. I'd watch that. That would be must-see TV, even better than a debate, although you could argue that a debate is a mental acuity test. We'll see. But I'm all in favor of that transparency. It's really important to know, because especially with the highest office in the land, the most important office, in the world. But we also have to look at the other side of this, that there is strength. You know, there's a story in the book about a woman named Mary Church Terrell, a civil rights leader. She spent her life advocating for the rights of Black people. And at the age of 86, when she had more than earned her rest, she then began leading sit-ins at segregated Washington, D.C. lunch counters. She felt called to do that, so she rejoined that fight. And, you know, there's something incredibly beautiful about that and powerful, because at best, she was only going to live a few more years. She was only going to enjoy the world that she helped fight for a little bit of time. So she wasn't doing it for herself. So I have to say, there is something very especially noble about public servants of a very advanced age. And I don't think we should lose sight of that.
Well, I hope you enjoy your visit to St. Louis. And thank you for spending time with us this morning on KMOX.
And Megan, I have to thank you. And I also have to tell you, though, to remember the story of Mr. Pickles, the Houston Zoo tortoise, who at age 90 became a first-time father. So it's not just people and it's not just career milestones. And, you know, we thought Al Pacino was impressive at 83.
Go Mr. Pickles, right?
Absolutely. He's going to live until about 150, so there could be a lot more kids coming. So
probably outlive me.
Pickles.
All right, Mo, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Megan.
That is Emmy-winning CBS Sunday Morning correspondent Mo Rocca, and his book is Rocktogenarians, Late in Life Debuts, Comebacks, and Triumphs.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.